Roots and Shoots with Joe and Sabrina. On Afternoons, 102.5 ABC Perth and ABC Radio WA.
G'day, Sabby.
Hello, Joe.
We were just chatting about the importance of a little bit of patience, maybe. Compassion.
Compassion, kindness, empathy.
All these things in a big dollop every single day.
Yeah, and I think people forget. And you know, there was something that I always remind myself every now and again of my father saying, everybody should practice being humble. And he was actually a very humble man. And I often think about that because, you know, when you're in the media, you meet some dicks, in all honesty.
And Sabby's not talking about people in the real world. She's talking about people in the media world.
Yes, in the media world. And so you just think sometimes they should teach being humble at school, maybe.
Maybe the way to cure these dicks, as you put it, is to just give them a giant hug and not let go.
Yeah.
Be like, it's all going to be okay.
Did you know that you are one of many, many fantastic people? You are not alone.
Oh, boy, we could go on about that forever, but you're actually here to do an important job.
I am. I'm here to encourage people to carry on in spite of aphids, mealybug, scale,
rats.
Rainfall, rats, mice, birds,
what's
whatever.
What's with the rats at the moment? I think Christine was having a chat about it last week. Yeah, I was in Donnybrook the other day and chatting to a bloke and he was like, it is out of control. Now, we're not going to talk about rats right now. What we're going to do is remind everybody of the number to call 1300 221 1025. It's way more entertaining for us and everybody else if we hear your voice and less of ours. But I did promise that I would ask you Susan's question because she has to run out.
Oh, Susan.
And she, it's to do with pruning.
Yes.
She's got various grasses that are less than a year old.
Right.
And she's replanting after a neighbour's tree fell through their native garden.
Oh.
Does she need to cut them back and how regularly? You go.
Oh, okay. So she's got a whole lot of different grasses. Now, Susan, every single grass you've got there in your garden, you can cut right down, particularly the ones with the bronze leaf. So, and you've got lamander, you've got isolepis, and you've got poa. All of those.
What are they?
They're a penstemon, penicetum.
Are they native?
They're native to New South Wales.
Okay.
They go ratty. There was a spate where kids were setting them on fire.
Naughty.
Yeah, about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, all those grasses. Now, be careful with the lamander because they have spiky seeds. Everything else there, you should be pruning them once a year. It's a great time of the year to do it now.
Great.
And when I say prune, I mean prune, like 10 centimetre from the base prune.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry. I'm just going to leave that comment there because we will never be able to talk again if I read it out. There you go, Susan. That is done. Hoshi says, when is the best time to sow everlasting and poppy seeds, please?
Oh, now.
Now. There you go, Hoshi.
Yeah.
You can listen to Carnival while you're planting them. Robin is in North Yundurup and has a question for you, Sabby. Hi, Robin.
Hello, hello.
Hello, Robin.
Good morning, afternoon, Sabrina. I'm ringing regarding, I've heard you say sometimes, just get some clay and put it in.
Yep.
I can't find any clay. I'm trying to make a bonsai.
Yeah.
And I need some clay for it.
Okay, so Robin, you can buy, so it'll either be listed as bentonite clay or kaolin clay. You buy it either in a bucket or a bag.
From
hardware stores and nurseries.
And it's called what sort of clay?
Well, it will either be a bentonite clay or a kaolin clay. So that's not the product name. So where the clay will be is usually where all the specialist potting mixes are. you know, sure. where indoor plant mix and propagation mix and that sort
and
of thing.
And that's the one that I need for bonsai. Okay.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Oh, you're putting it in bonsai?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
And why are you putting it in bonsai?
Because I've got the permalite stuff and
yeah.
But it needs a bit of guts with it, okay?
Ooh,
to bind it all together.
Okay. You would only need in a little bonsai pot, I wouldn't be putting more than one tablespoon full of clay.
Okay, so someone thought that I could go up the hills and just dig it out or something, but I don't know where.
Robin, with bonsai, I wouldn't be doing that. I would be going to a nursery. Yeah. You know you can get bonsai mix, don't you?
Is that the permalite and something else?
No, it's actually bonsai mix, which has...
bonsai mix in it. Robin, I reckon whoever's giving you advice, I'd say thank you so much to them. Give them a hug and maybe just listen to Sabby because I reckon Sabby's on the money.
Yeah. That's why I'm ringing.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So you don't want something that's just perlite and you don't want a lot of clay because your bonsai will die.
Yep.
Okay, so indoor potting mix with no more than one tablespoonful of clay.
There we go, Robin. Send us a photo of your bonsai when you've planted it. Erica, John, Mark, we will get to you very, very shortly, but we do need to... Oh, hang on. Mark's rung to help Robin. Wait a second. Let's do that. Mark, over to you. Robin, stick around. Mark?
Hello. How's it going?
Yeah, good. G'day, Mark.
Are you a bonsai master?
Bonsai mix would be the California mix, which I make by using the... big orange bag of high quality potting mix that starts with an O. Some cocoa koi.
Yeah.
Some loose cocoa koi.
Yeah.
Mix that 50-50. A nice big scoop of blood and bone in there.
Yeah.
And some little tiny fish tank rocks, maybe the 2-3 mil fish tank rocks.
Oh yeah, for drainage, yep.
And that opens it up and your bonsais will take off.
That sounds bloody marvellous. Thank you very much, Mark.
That's called the California mix.
Okay, that sounds very get on your surfboard.
There you go. This is why this is a beautiful, beautiful
I know,
place.
We share.
Because people help each other. Robin, hopefully you noted all that down. Hey, with the, you know, in the metro area, it was definitely a bit of a cooler start.
Yeah.
With this second of three cold fronts coming through. When are you best weather-wise? What do you enjoy the most?
I don't enjoy wind, which is really a shame.
You live in Perth, Western Australia.
But I didn't know it was so windy here. So I hate the wind. So spring is really windy. I love autumn. Autumn is my favourite time because there's not much wind, but you still get beautiful days and rainfall, which I love. So autumn, definitely autumn. I am like a little spring lamb in autumn.
Okay. There we go. Glad we cleared that up. Now, somebody is saying that they would really like to know exactly what Mark just said about the bonsai recipe. But I'm just going to let you know that you can listen back. So if you jump online and pop in ABC Radio Perth Afternoons after about 4:30, you'll be able to hear that and you can make notes as it all happens.
Yep. Oh, I forgot. You can Google California mix, which I have to say is good for California, but it's not so applicable to Western Australia. Therein lies the problem with Googling everything because we have such unique weather conditions here. So anyway, start with the California mix and then just tweak it.
Erica is in Mount Lawley. Good afternoon, Erica.
Hello, Erica.
Hi, is that Erica from Mount Hawthorne?
That's it. Yep. Mount Lawley, Mount Hawthorne. So, you know, we don't have a lot of mountains here in WA. So
just
it's really just
that you're talking to me.
Yes, we are, Erica, we are. What can we do for you?
Yes, so I have a large weeping mulberry tree. It's about 4 metres high, probably 2 metres wide.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't fruited well for a long time.
Right.
And so I believe I have to prune it heavily and feed it heavily, but I just don't know when is the right time to do that.
Well, you've come to the right place, Erica. Okay.
I thought so
I would be pruning a weeping mulberry every single year, and the best time to do that is in June.
Yep.
Now.
So you're early, Erica. You are
ahead of the
beyond
time.
Punctual.
Hmm? Now, what people usually do, they do the wrong thing. I don't want you doing that, Erica. So what they do is they prune all the bottom of it, like, you know, you're taking the hem off a long skirt. Mm-hmm. What you need to do is you need to actually thin the branches out from the very top of the growth, where it sprouts from its main mm-hmm. stem. So you're mm-hmm. going to thin out a third of those branches.
Is that mm-hmm. a bird in the background?
No.
Oh.
Sounds like a bird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so take out a third. Now, people go and make it all the one size around the bottom of the skirt. I don't want you to do that, Erica. I want you to mm-hmm. take some of them off. So take a third out entirely from the mm-hmm. main stem. Then I want you to play higgledy-piggledy with mm-hmm. pruning the bottom at different heights.
Yep.
Why do you do that? Just for aesthetics or?
You get a much better shape, because if you just prune the bottom, every single branch goes poof and shoots out at the bottom, and then it gets so thick you can't even
get in. It's like a bowl haircut.
Yeah, it's just like a bowl haircut.
And then so when you take out the third entirely, so if it's 4 metres high now, it would be end up being 3 metres or 2.5 metres.
Well, probably 3.5 because – you're taking from the top, so take the topmost ones out and leave the ones that are below the topmost branches.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
And then, of course, taking all the dead wood out is just a given, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%. Okay. So do that in June, anytime in June, by the silvery moon.
Happy pruning.
And when do I fertilise?
Oh, not until September.
Okay. All right, so I cut it all out, but I don't fertilise till September. Mm-mm. Okay, great. Thanks
Beautiful.
Very much. That's wonderful.
Happy pruning, Erica. Happy pruning. Okay, let's head to John. It is all pruning. This is all we're going to do. Pruning.
Well, it's a good time of the year to prune.
What do you want to prune, John?
I have two plants. I'm not sure if I'll get this right. A Pimelia ferruginea.
Yeah. Well done.
Which I brought. Which
Farad
I
Janae.
Planted.
Yep. Yep.
Planted last year, it flowered beautifully.
Yep.
I haven't not pruned it back.
No, don't prune it now, John.
That's what I have been told. I just want to get a second professional opinion.
Yeah, so that's going to flower in spring, and you've left it a bit late now because you'll start pruning off all your wood. So flowering wood. So the best time to do your Pimelia is when it finishes flowering at the end of spring or summer.
Yes, it was rather hot and I wasn't sure if that affected at all pruning it back in the heat.
So either the end of spring, the different Pimelias flower at different times, but you're always, always safe at the end of summer. So usually if it's a summer flowering one, then you'd wait until the end of February, March.
Okay, and re-fertilising? Oh. I have a native fertiliser for it.
Yep, okay. So at the beginning of every season. So slow-release fertiliser at the beginning of every season.
So when you say the beginning, what is the beginning for the season for the Pimelia? Is that now?
So we're still in autumn. Yep.
Okay. And my next question, same question, but that's for if I can get this right, Sinantha tozzarenus. Is that correct?
Spell it.
Can you spell it?
Yeah, Sanantha. Coz.
Yeah.
Okay. It's another name, summer stars, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Same thing. Do not prune that now. And the same regime of fertilising at the beginning of every season. Don't prune now. It's too late. You're going to have to wait until it finishes flowering.
Good on you. Who has just sent us this spectacular image of a hill sunset? Thank you. The way the light hits the tops of those eucalypts, that's really beautiful.
I don't know if they've sent it for that or the fact that there's obviously
dead
dieback.
Yeah.
I'd say it's dieback that's ripping through or there's been a bushfire. I don't know.
It's a beautiful image despite the dying trees.
It's a fantastic picture.
Thank you. Zanna has got a question about a kangaroo paw. Hi, Zanna.
Hi, Joe, Sabrina, and a low voice Slim. I have two quick questions.
Yep.
It's April, so it's kangaroo paw time.
Yep.
I've got some big reds and others.
Yep.
Can I use the hedge trimmer?
Oh, my oath, you can. I use that and the whippersnipper.
Okay, awesome. Cool. I'm not going to harm them because they are beautiful when they flower.
Yeah.
They're ready for a trim. And then my other question is, I cut down a tree today, or the arborists did, because it was in the wrong spot and growing very, very big.
Yeah.
I think its rootstock had taken over and it was going to be a spotted gum instead of a small tree.
Oh, that's a big tree.
Yes, that's a very big tree. So I need to replace it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want a eucalypt.
Yep.
And I'm considering Eucalyptus torquata.
Yep.
Tor wood.
Yep.
Wood wardii. Yuki dwarf. Or something else that Sabrina suggests.
I would go the Yuki dwarf out of all those. Now, the problem with torquata, it's a beautiful tree, but Zanna, oh my goodness, it drops 80 million buds and they're really sharp. And
I'm not good for the young person in who lives in this house. No.
And for little kids, Zanna. So I would go the Yuki dwarf.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Am I good to plant that now?
Oh, my oath you are, Zanna. Go right ahead and do that.
There's a terrible gap in the garden and it needs filling.
We don't like gaps. We don't like gaps.
Nope, we're going to fix the gap. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Zanna.
Whack it in. Frank, let's have a chat to Frank and find out what's happening in Frank's garden. You think you're in Mandurah, Frank?
Yes, g'day, girls. We planted five fruit trees along the back fence.
Yeah.
And I let them get out of hand. We were supposed to espaliate them and keep them at a reasonable height.
Yeah.
Now, we've got a 6-foot fence. If I cut them down, they've gone mad. So if I cut them down below, a foot below the top of the fence, will they reshoot from lower branches?
Yeah. So... Now, which fruit trees have you got, Frank?
We've got an apricot, a nectarine with the two types on it, a peach with the two types on it, and then we've got a red apple and a green apple.
Okay, they will all reshoot, John.
Okay.
So no problem there. Well, so you can prune those. Do you want them, you want to, you know, rejuvenate them?
Yes.
Yeah. So you have to prune fruit trees, John. You don't get good quality fruit. You don't get a good shape. Easier to control birds and pests and all that sort of thing. So they will definitely reshoot.
Okay. And will that be the same answer for Frank?
That will be the same answer for Frank, John.
Oh, my goodness.
Frank. Now I've got confused.
We are all confused.
Anyway,
I think we're talking to Frank.
Oh, we're talking to Frank.
We're talking to Frank, aren't we?
We're talking to Frank and John has sent a pink.
Yes, you got distracted by the photo.
I did. So, right.
Frank,
so,
I think we've sorted, We've sorted it. Now,
sorry.
We're going to talk to John. We are, because John, you got Sabby all excited with your photo.
Yeah.
She got distracted. Poor old Frank got lost in the wind. What's happening with your Cape Lilac, John?
Okay, so this is a Cape Lilac. It would be 25, 30 metres tall in our back garden.
Yep.
And we have this hole in the base. Oh, it's about 900 up from the base.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cockroaches living in it.
Yeah.
So what I would like to know is, how do I fill this and what do I do to ensure that it doesn't do any further damage to the tree?
Okay.
Assuming it is doing damage to the tree.
Well, it won't be the cockroaches that do damage to the tree, but it'll be fungal diseases and other boring type insects. So what you do is you go and get wood putty.
Okay.
You can either get expanding foam that you pump in there or you get wood putty. Because now, the thing is, though, John, trees mend themselves. They have all these mechanisms to heal wounds. But the problem with the Cape Lilac tree is it's kind of fairly soft wood, and if water gets in there, then it can rot, and then you'll get rotting all the way down the trunk. So I would either fill it with expanding foam or wood putty.
Not a problem. That's all I needed to know. Thank you so much.
Perhaps feed the cockroaches to the chooks.
Yeah, I'll do that with them, and yep. They get looked after with the garden anyway.
Ah, there you go. Well done, John.
Now, Andrew is in Les Murdy Savvy, and he purchased a healthy avocado tree from a local nursery a couple of months ago. It's since declined in health. The leaves are curling and dying. New leaves continue to grow but are not growing into larger, healthier leaves. It's been regularly watered throughout the hot spells. Please, can you help him? Please, can you help him?
Doesn't look happy, does it, Joe? It's kind of very sad and the leaves are sad and they're hanging down. Now, depending on where you are in Les Murdy, because if you're up on the top of the scarp, then it's solid rock. If you are further down the hill, then you may have clay and rock. Less rock, but more clay. Avocados do not like cold ground, not that it's been cold, but they don't like heavy soil and they don't like growing on rock. So it could be that you need to improve the drainage and build up around it. So, yeah, so I would say it's hit hard ground or hit rock, and that's not what they like.
Okay. Let's head to Denmark, one of the beautiful, beautiful part of our state. G'day, Tony.
Yeah. Hello.
Hello, Tony.
Hello, Verena. Yeah, well, before I ask my question, I'll just let you know that we took Costa into the Tingle Forest.
He would have loved that. He would have absolutely loved it.
Yeah, he did. He's going to try and help us look after it.
Oh, good on you, Tony. Now, what's happening with your oak tree roots?
Yes. So, I married an English girl who loves oak trees.
So do I.
And in an attempt to keep her in Australia, we planted an oak tree when our first child was born.
Oh, lovely.
And it's now a great big tree 35 years later. And she's constantly complaining that its roots are invading her vegetable garden. And I'm trying to work out how I can...
stay married and save the veggies.
And have veggies in your oak tree.
Yeah, so the garden is like a raised garden, but the roots sort of travel about
upwards.
Half a metre down and then into the garden.
Oh,
and
they will. Yeah. Tony, really your only option is to turn those beds into wicking beds where you've got sort of a solid base because the oak tree and 35-year-old oak tree will find its way to anywhere where there's beautiful soil and moisture, which is what you need with your veggie patch. So I would actually switch those to wicking beds.
Wicking beds it is, Tony. Lucky you live in that beautiful part of our state. We're now going to head to Lake Coogee. Good afternoon, Kim. What's happening?
Hello. I've got a, what they call a teddy bear magnolia, one of those ones you put in a whack in a pot.
Yep.
About 12 months old.
Yep.
Forgive my voice because I've got the flu.
Oh.
And it's lost all its foliage and I thought that was due to the heat from a couple of months ago.
Right.
But now, not only has it lost its foliage, so it's got a little bit on top, but so what's left on top has wilted terribly.
Ooh.
Like it's had no water for months, which it hasn't. It's been water it regularly.
Yeah.
But any ideas?
Dang, dang, da, dang, 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 dang.
Uh-oh, that sounds ominous. We need...
Now this, I have to tell you, this is not a good sign, Kim.
No.
So you need to dig it up and have a look at the root system. There is definitely something really bad going on there. So...
We get a lot of mole crickets here.
No, it's not going to be mole crickets.
No.
The root system on the trees are too big for mole crickets. They're more after your grass and the little rooting plants. So there's definitely something going on at ground level. You need to dig it up, check out the root system, prune it, you know, take 50% off before you dig it up and just have a look and see what's going on.
So do I take 50% off now and leave it for a week or two? I take 50% off and dig it up at the same time?
Same time.
All right.
Yep.
No worries. Yep. That's my job.
Good luck with that, mate. Good luck. Now, Dawn, I think you're keen to grow tomatoes in winter, which is interesting. Okay, Dawn.
Hello, Dawn. We all want to grow tomatoes in winter.
Dawn from Gibson.
Yes.
Now, what I really want to know, Sab, can I do it in the hothouse?
Yes. Now people
We've
do.
We've got a large hothouse.
Yeah.
But I will have to self-pollinate, yeah?
Yeah. But that's okay. There's no problem there. So you'll have to self-pollinate. Black Russian does really well over the winter period. Most of the cherry tomatoes, Dawn. And that's how we get our tomatoes all during winter because they're all hothouse grown. So,
Perfect.
I know people that have had a really successful crop of tomatoes in their hothouses over winter. So the cherries and the Russian tomato
Beautiful.
Will be the go for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dawn.
Now, Carmen, I think has an issue with a horrible tree. Carmen, what's happening? What's this horrible tree?
I think it's a Brazilian pepper tree.
Horror!
Have you got a chainsaw?
Oh, God.
Well, I am going to attack it because it is coming over, like big boughs coming over our fence. So I'm going to attack it. But I thought you might have some idea of something I could do to discourage it growing back so vigorously after I cut it back.
Talk to the neighbours.
Well, no.
I have done that.
It's in your neighbour's yard, is it?
Yeah, it's just self-seeded up against the fence and it's just becoming huge.
Are they renting or do they live there?
They're renting, yeah, they're
Great.
Renting. I have spoken
awesome.
To them nicely.
Yeah.
But they do like it. They like the shade and they like it because it's green.
Oh.
But it's, yeah.
Number one, go and tell them that it's a noxious weed.
Yeah, I did tell them that. Yeah.
Number two, tell them that you will buy them another tree.
Oh, okay. So that's, what you're saying there.
Yeah, because the only way of getting rid of that, Carmen, is you're going to have to cut it down and poison it.
Yeah.
With the blackberry tree killer. Okay, so wherever you cut it.
Yeah.
Paint it with the blackberry tree killer and kerosene mix.
Yeah, and that might knock it back from
That'll
coming
knock
back
it back
over
a bit,
here a
but
bit.
The bloody thing will still sucker.
Yeah,
if
yeah.
you say to them, I would love to buy you another tree, which is so much nicer.
Do you know what else you could do? You could play them this little bit of radio.
Oh, yeah.
Listen back and say, look, there is this wonderful horticulturalist who is the best in the business. She's also a formidably fabulous human being. And she says we need to get rid of that thing.
They are menace to the environment.
I know. Yeah, I know. I've watched it growing over the last 3 or 4 years and it's just gone crazy.
Yeah. Take a nice bottle of wine or a carton of beer.
Yeah.
tell them that the seeds are poisonous. Have they got kids?
It's not the one with – I think it's a male one because it hasn't got the red berries. Oh, it's just got millions and millions of tiny, tiny
flowers
and
dropping
the pool and
anyway, see if you can
win them over. Give them a big hug. Wine, beer, new tree.
Whatever.
And report back, please. Report back. Let's squeeze in a couple more calls. Sally, you're in Baldivis and your fig's not doing too well. We've got a photo. What's happening, Savvy?
So it's either a virus because they get that mottled look when they have a virus, which isn't going to affect your crop, doesn't matter, can't do anything about it, or it's a little leaf skeletonizer. That doesn't matter either because pretty soon, and it's also got scale, soon it's going to lose all its leaves.
Yeah.
Now that scale, Sally, I have to tell you, geckos love that fig scale. They can't clean it all up. So what you can do, the worst leaves, pluck them off now, bag them, bin them, and then give the whole tree an oil-based spray, like a pest oil. Spray it once, spray it again in 2 weeks' time.
And do I jet spray it off?
Yes, in between. Yep. Give it a little jet spray. Yep.
Yeah. So just the leaves. I don't de-leaf the whole thing, just the leaves that have got the worst mottly.
Yeah. Oh, the mottle one, that's a virus. You can't do anything about it. But it won't affect your crop. And they're inside the living cells, so you can't do anything about it at all. But the scale, you want to get rid of.
Because it's quite a decent tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty old. It's like huge. Over 50 years old.
Yeah. It's so sad.
So don't worry about anything else. Just spray everything with a pest oil, high pressure hose in between, 2 weeks apart, another spray. And then I'd give it a really good prune this winter, Sally.
Okay, yeah. we've got very little time, and Bob in Greenwood has a question. Bob, quickly.
Okay, quick one. I've got a little courtyard. It's on the south side of a garden wall.
Yep.
Which is a couple of metres high. I'm looking for a potted tree or shrub that's going to grow to about 3 or 4 metres.
Yep.
What would be good in that spot, please?
If you want a little 3 metre tree, I would put in Eucalyptus stoatii, S-T-O-A-T-I, or Eucalyptus Websteriana.
There we go, Bob. Happy planting. And Ryan's in Dianella and he's got a honey myrtle. Mm. At the end of summer, it turned brown. Every leaf went brown. Initially, he pruned the brown branches. Ooh, that's a no-no, isn't it? Don't you say leave it while the heat's still there?
Oh, but
is it worth saving or go to the green bin in the sky?
No, don't put it in the green bin. We're getting cooler. Give it a bit of water and it'll come back.
There you go. Some good news to end on. Ryan, do not chop that thing up. Water it. And
love it.
Crepe myrtles are beautiful. Oh, honey myrtle, sorry, not a crepe myrtle.
Yeah, honey myrtle.
Honey myrtle. As are you. You're beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you, darling.
Remember,
bye.
You've got to go and hug a dick. See you, Sabby.
Been a while.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.